Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to podcast number 135. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. How you doing this week, Doug?
I'm doing well. We kind of got the jet lag behind us from the holiday. We're back in our normal recording routine, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Looking forward to the new year, like we said, and, getting some stability and weekly podcasts going, and it's all good.
Yeah, Sunday morning recording is the best for me.
Yeah, it's, to me, it doesn't really matter as long as it's consistent and, we hit the mark each and every week, or we try to. That's good.
Yeah, it means our friends don't write us saying, where's our podcast on Monday? That's why I like recording on Sunday. They got used to seeing one come out on Monday morning.
Right. I'm the same way in my queue, different shows I listen to. It's weird if you don't get that. You don't see it in your inbox or in your feed, I guess. When you're accustomed to seeing it. So that's great that, we had a couple listeners out there that at least missed us for a couple of days. Hopefully many more missed us but didn't comment, but that's all good.
Yeah. Let's get back in this routine, buddy. You want to fire us up with some news?
Yeah, a couple things going on. Like you mentioned, Doug, everything winding down. Things will go back to quote-unquote normal down there at the parks, with the holidays in the rearview mirror. A couple pool refurbs over at Saratoga Springs. The High Rock Spring Pool, which is the feature pool right there at the main building, will be closed for refurb just the 2nd through the 4th of February. So they may just be doing some cleaning or something there. But the paddock pool will be closed, or is closed. Actually, that'll be closing on Tuesday, January 13th through the 27th. So if you have, if you're staying there during those dates, you may want to be aware of these dates. You may have to use a different pool on the facility or a pool elsewhere.
The only positive thing about them closing now is it's been so cool down there lately that I don't think it'll affect too many, but my luck would be I would get there the week that it went back up to 85.
Right. Yeah, the only people swimming are the crazy New Englanders and Northeasters up there. Northeasterners?
Yes.
Yeah, when it's 50, we're happy when we're coming from sub-zero degree weather up here.
And you get the Canadians in their Speedos. No offense.
Yeah. Right.
Just playing, guys. But yeah, they like to wear their Speedos on our beaches. Yeah, I wish I had the guts to pull that off. I just can't do it.
Yeah. Just different cultures and stuff. Yeah. That is kind of funny. But, I won't be doing that anytime soon. Nope. But it is, I think we've all done this, just to be fair to the, the pools that are open. You might say, why do they waste the chlorine and the electricity to run all that? They should shut them down. But you know what? They're all heated. And, once you get in there, it's nice. And, some people enjoy doing that even when it's quote-unquote brisk out in Florida.
I've done it. It's refreshing. It's cool when you walk by, though, at night. I'm headed down to Old Man Island and the steam's coming off it when you're down there in the winter.
Right.
It's pretty cool looking. I have some pictures of that, actually. It's a nice pic at night. It looks very eerie. It looks sci-fi if you get up close enough to it.
Right.
I have
right.
some pictures where you can't tell it's a pool. It just looks like this fog's coming out of the ground. It's pretty cool.
Right. And it's a great form of exercise, too. I mean, a lot of people, have swimming as part of their regiment, if you will. So they'll swim, just to get some laps in and stuff. And so the pools are available most times of year, or all times of year, I should say, with the exception of refurbs. And then, as we know, the water parks go down for major refurbishments, if you will, each and every winter. They usually close one of them down for several weeks, do what they got to do, and then reverse it and close the other one and work on each of them. So that's kind of an annual occurrence.
Yeah, they have to do it. But don't you find it funny that I just thought of this, that not a single Disney pool has an inside, not a single Disney hotel has an inside interior pool?
Yeah, come to think of it, it's funny you're saying that because I was just thinking about the bungalows, and we're, I'm gonna there's a news item on that. We can talk about it, but I think, well, not I think, I know. I think there's going to be a pool out on the deck, and I forget the name that they use them. They're like a drop-in pool. So basically, if you can envision like a 4x6 hole in the deck, if you will, 8 feet deep, that's actually a pool because, as you know, you can't swim in that body of water there. There was a name for them, and I didn't write it down, unfortunately, but it sounded pretty cool. I don't know, kind of like probably the size of a, you know, a smaller whirlpool or something like that, but
It's to
there.
give you the like you're actually in the lake, but you're
The
not.
illusion, right?
Yes, the illusion you're swimming in the lake, but you're not.
Yeah, well, I'm going to talk about some prices, and for that, they better give you an illusion. But
I
we're,
seen them.
yeah,
They're
we're, and we're,
I don't think Dave and Blaine could make that disappear, man. That's a
no,
big
no.
illusion. But yeah, I'm shocked that they don't have a single interior pool on property because that's a big thing in Florida that they have all the pools screened in. A lot of people have them inside in their back lanai because of the temperature makes it so hot. You know what I mean? Don't you find it funny that there isn't a pool for the off season that you
Yeah,
can swim inside?
I agree with that. You know, it keeps the heat off you, you know, with the sun beating right on you, you know, with the covered pools. You're right. Almost every single family home you see, even in Florida, most of them have those lanais, like you said, with the covering over them. Yeah, it is kind of a strange occurrence, I guess,
Because
that they don't have one.
a lot of your hotels you go on the way down, and I know it's colder in those areas, but like your Hiltons and all them, your they holiday they have them built inside the hotel itself, as part of the gym or whatever. And I'm just curious why none of them have it like a gym pool, all interior pool.
Well, maybe that's things to come. You know, and the other thing is too, Disney does such a great job at managing their mosquito and insect population down there. You don't, at least I don't recall ever
No.
having an issue at the pools and getting bitten by mosquitoes and such. I would think if you know, you owned a home in the area or whatever, not only for the sunscreen effects of the lanai, but I think that insects would be a huge issue, which is why you'd want it covered and screened in.
I honestly think the other reason is you don't want to come out and find an alligator swimming in your pool.
Yeah, that.
That would be the reason, or a snake. That would be the
Yeah.
reason I have mine inside, but it's just one of those things. I just thought that, come to think, they don't have a single interior pool on property. I know why it is, because if you put a pool on the interior of any of the hotels, that takes away of that many units that they could rent out.
Yeah, that could be it too. I mean,
Yeah,
there's
it's
a
just
reason for everything.
money.
Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy. Speaking of
Yeah.
money.
Yeah, I just want to mention all our friends and listeners that may be down at Walt Disney World this weekend running the half and I believe the full marathon. In fact, I believe one of those races is in progress right now. We're recording this on Sunday, the 11th, and if when you finish the race, if you're a marathoner and get your medal, you're eligible for a whole bunch of discounts at a lot of the stores and restaurants down at Disney Springs, and that'll be happening today from 2 p.m., which is, like I said, Sunday, January 11th, to 8 p.m. So they're giving you know, discounts anywhere from 10% to, in some cases, 50%. I know if you, I think if you go to one of the food trucks, you've got a cupcake, a complimentary cupcake they'll give you. And, you know, they're doing a little bit of something for all the folks that have paid to run their Disney races down there this weekend.
Yeah, I know Mike and the Flying Lizards. It doesn't Isn't his team called the Flying Lizards? Ricky, Mike, and all them guys.
Yeah, the BR Guest Podcast Lizards. That's correct.
I know they're all down there running, aren't they, Dan?
Yeah, I know Mike. Mike was running, and Ricky ran the. I think she ran the half, her and her husband, and a whole bunch of other Disney community folks have run or are running right now. So, as we know, these races are getting more and more popular, and it's you know, if you're into that, that's fun.
I would like to do that one day. The one I
Yeah.
would, the one I wanted to do is the one that they had at the Animal Kingdom, and I don't know if it's there anymore. I'd have to look into it because I'm just thinking of it now. But remember, they used to have the marathon, and it was like a scavenger hunt at the same time.
Vaguely.
I remember Lou doing it and all, but yeah, you would have to race. It was whoever did all the. It was like a race plus you had. It was a scavenger hunt. So you had to do certain. You had all these different things you had to complete through the Animal Kingdom, like the Amazing Race meets the marathon. I thought it was really cool. Me and Brenda were like, we would love to do that.
Right.
I need something to keep me interested. Like I could never run just to run.
Right. Well, and Disney does a great job at that. I mean, not that I've run any Disney race, but I've obviously seen pictures and keep up on that stuff. They every mile marker, instead of just a normal mile marker, they'll have characters or a band or some sort of, not entertainment, but I call them like distractions, to keep you engaged and occupied, kind of like what you're saying, Doug. You're always looking for that next, who's the next character going to be or what's going to be at the next mile marker. So they try to, occupy your mind, I guess, and keep it off the running and keep it fun.
They keep you enthusiastic. The reason my wife runs, she runs a miles every night on the treadmill, so she would have no problem. But I would like to do it just the behind the scenes stuff, because I know you get routed through certain areas where you don't normally get to see unless you're doing the marathon. I would enjoy that because I always want to find something I don't know.
Right.
But I'm in good shape. I'm very athletic. I like to play, but I have to have a stick or a ball. Just to run, like even when I played high school football, basketball, I was always one of the fastest guys on the team. The track coaches want me to run. I
Right.
just could never run just to run. If they had somebody at the end of the mile for me to tackle, I probably
Right.
would do it. But there was no meaning for me just to run around in circles.
Well, how about if I get on a bicycle or something and I put a plate of bangers and mash and I just go about 4 feet in front of you? Would
You
you
would
keep
keep me
running?
going? And give me a pocket full of olives to throw at
Yeah,
you.
there you go.
So go ahead, buddy.
Let's see here. Over at Disney Hollywood Studios, they're going to be previewing the live action movie Cinderella, and that's going to be starting on January 17th, going to March 21st. Also, the Golden Coach from the movie will be on location in the streets of America, and that will be from February 1st to April 11th. So, if you're interested in that movie and you're down there over the next couple of months, you can catch a preview and actually see one of the movie props, or I guess an actual carriage, not a prop, that was or is in the movie.
That sounds cool. I would like to see that. I love all that stuff. I'm a geek with that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't buy all the souvenirs or the trinkets and stuff like that, but I like to see the actual stuff because there's going to be castles and carriages and all that you're going to be able to buy in the gift shop from this movie.
Absolutely. And I can't say I'm looking forward to it. It's not my thing. I'll probably watch it at some point. I'll get it on demand or something like that. But yeah, anything they add new or different to the parks, I mean, and especially Disney Hollywood Studios, I mean, that's with the backlot tour gone now. We don't have the opportunity to see many of these movie props and stuff anymore. So this will be pretty cool.
Yeah, my wife will. She's really into seeing that. I usually make her see the Wall-Es, the Lion Kings, the Toy Stories, like the animated versions. And she
Right.
likes the like stuff like this. This is what she'll make me say,
The
and
live
I'll
action.
enjoy it. I'll act like I'm taking one for the team. So shh, don't tell anybody. I really want to see it myself,
Right.
but she won't think that. So.
Right. Now, hey, it's a Disney movie, so I got to support it. Nothing wrong with that. The annual let's see here, the light removal, the dream lights will start coming down. So what that means to guests going to Walt Disney World, particularly the Magic Kingdom,
You have a little
is
boy, he's gonna like a crane.
you're going to see the crane. That's again, those of us that have traveled to Disney World are used to this, and I'm sure many of us have pictures in our photo albums with the crane in various positions behind Cinderella's castle. It's just the way it is. It does ruin the shot down Main Street when if you're taking pictures, but it is what it is. They got to do it.
Anymore, it's more the exception, not the rule. It's more the rule, not the exception, excuse me. I mean, almost every time you go there, there's cranes or tractors anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was just thinking that when I was doing the show prep. I mean, as long as it takes them to string them up in the, what do they start, late summer, I think, or maybe early fall at the latest, they start putting them up. And
Yeah, around
now that,
September.
yeah, so I mean, you know, they're really only not on the castle maybe, what, 8 months a year or something like that, rough math. So I was just thinking maybe at some point, and this would be extremely expensive, but maybe they could somehow incorporate like LED lighting into the actual castle itself so that it you wouldn't see it when they're not on, but you know they just wouldn't have to do that. Or maybe even with the new projection stuff they have, when the technology gets even better than it is now, maybe they can do it so that they don't actually have to physically put lights on the castle. You know what I mean?
The union for the crane operator, he isn't happy with you right now.
Yeah, I know. But imagine what they make. I mean, I don't know, you know, for the whether they bid it by the, you know, when you're done, or whether it's, you know, time and materials or whatever. But it's got to be a huge number to put them up and take them down, wouldn't you think?
Yep, that's why a ticket's going up $1 again this year,
Yeah.
probably.
Yeah.
You know.
It just seems like old technology. But again, you got the Osmond, lights over there at Hollywood Studios, and you know they look beautiful. Don't get me wrong, but it just—I'll bet you in the near, you know, next 10 years, I'll say or something. There'll be a way to do it without physically putting the lights up. But maybe I'm crazy.
Nah, you're not crazy. Things are always changing, man. You never know. It could be they could announce it tomorrow.
Yeah,
You don't know.
something.
I mean, isn't the lights going down Osborne's next year? Aren't they skipping a year or something? Or
I heard
something's
that,
going on with that. I
yeah.
think then the rumors were that that's going to be the start of construction for the studios.
Right. You're right, Doug. There are a couple of rumors circulating out there. Everything from they're going to move location from where they are now to going to a whole different park. I've heard different things, but nothing's been solidified yet. But you're right. We all assume there's going to be major construction in that area where they put the lights up. And, you know, so they got to go somewhere, or maybe you're right, they'll just take a year off and then bring them back. I don't know, but I would anticipate some change to the Osborne lights next year, anyways.
I have a funny feeling, and I know everybody does, so I'm not like really going outside the box here. Streets of America, I don't think are going to be there much longer. So if you can take as many pictures and enjoy it, because I think that's one of the things that's the easiest for them to let go.
Yeah, I mean, I love that area. I spent quite a bit of time 2 trips ago, going through every nook and cranny, and I took a bunch of pictures and really enjoyed that area. But to be honest, it's kind of wasted space. I mean, there's not a whole lot going on there other than the, you know, ambient sounds of the subway and the traffic and the little stores and stuff. But I mean, you know, that's pretty much, in my view, a, you know, that's a place, in my view, that you really don't explore to your second or third time down to Disney World. I mean, with everything else going on, that's more a leisurely, you know, take a stroll, maybe grab a coffee or a, you know, something, and just, you know, leisurely walk through that area. But I agree with you. I think that that's an easy one, or a no-brainer, if you will, to kind of wrap that up and do something more significant there.
Yeah, me and Brenda go hide, and now you can't even do that no more. The where you're like you see the backdrop of San Francisco, like going up
Right.
the hill there.
Yep.
Well, remember all them shops there with the steps along the side? There's like a flower shop or whatever. There's a couple
Barber
there.
shop. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you used to be able to sit on those steps. Now they got them all roped off. There were
Yeah.
certain areas where you could take pictures where, because I have pictures of my wife, my sister-in-law up on the steps, not from this last trip, from trip long past, my mother-in-law, and all, you know, we've taken different pictures on that street. And now they have every single one of the steps where you can't even go up them anymore. I think that's a ripoff.
Well, again, I hate to keep saying this. My guess is somebody got hurt, fell, hurt themselves, and the lawyers said, you know, we don't want guests climbing on these. Maybe a kid fell down one of the, not down one of the grates.
Or they just didn't want to spend the money on repainting them and cleaning them up because people going up and down and dropping food or dirtying them or sitting on them, or they want you to keep moving so you go sit somewhere where you're buying food and you're not meandering back there where they're not making any money.
No, you're probably right. I mean, I know I commented on this that trip I was talking about a couple trips ago. You know, they when they put up the Osborne lights, I mean, they got to get in all those nooks and crannies. And in fact, I commented on that. They actually drilled in sheetrock screws, you know, to make the line where they wrap the lights around, and they leave the sheetrock screws in because I was there during the summer before the lights were up. And once I got looking around, it was pretty amazing that there were these rows of sheetrock screws that were just, you know, screwed in where the lights would attach to them. So
Now, were they interior or they were outside?
outside, you know, like around the windows, like if you're the barber shop, the Chinese food restaurant, you know, all those little, you
Were
know, entrance
they pitted
ways.
or rusted?
No, and they
Then
were black though.
they had to
They,
be decking screws then.
yeah, maybe they were, but they, to me, they look like sheetrock
I
screws.
hear you.
But
Everybody that's bad uses sheetrock screws outside. That's a no-no.
oh,
Use
they'll
decking
rust,
screws. Yeah, they'll rust and
right?
go bad. And
Yeah.
what'll happen is even when you cover them with a caulk or putty or spackle, after about a year or so, the rust will come to the surface.
Yeah, and then if you have a nice deck or something, then you're going to have rust stains that you're going to have to
Exactly.
pressure wash out or bleach out, and we all know that's not fun.
No, so use decking screws, Dennis. Okay.
Yes, okay.
Well.
Moving right along, and we alluded to this earlier, the Pali, which they're now calling the Bora Bora bungalows. Say that quickly.
Bora Bora bungalows, Bora Bora bungalows.
So although this isn't official from Disney, but this information is starting to come out. So I think these numbers are probably in the ballpark, maybe not exact, but in the ballpark. To stay one night in a Bora Bora bungalow, it's going to cost you between $2,100 and $2,900. What say you?
That's for a month, right?
No, one night.
Oh, I was going to say a week. One night. Yeah, I better hit that Mega Million on Tuesday.
Wow, that is unbelievably expensive. I mean, I guess I get it. There's only a handful of them, and they're at a premium because they're so scarce and a unique thing. But man, that seems like sick money.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I'll never see it unless I do hit Mega or come into some. I hit a major scratcher somewhere. I mean, it's not going to happen. I mean, I seen the points for you. What do you think? 160 points a night, Dennis, for your DVC.
Well, I did some calculations, and it's 160 to, and I believe my math is right. And if it's not, oh well, that's not my thing. But okay, 160 points a night, and they're saying you're going to need between 841 to 1439 points to stay for a week in a bungalow. Now, I don't know what the difference in points is, whether some of the bungalows are, you know, one bedroom, some are three. I don't know. But for the sake of this, so if you had to buy enough points to have enough points to stay a week in a bungalow through DVC at $160 a point, it'd cost you on the low end for the 841, $134,560. And then for the the 1439, it would cost you $230,240. Now that's for the whole, you know, you're buying that for 40 years, keep in mind. So what it breaks down to, I did some quick math here, and you might be surprised. So if you bought through DVC and you bought 160 points times the number of points it takes to stay a night in a bungalow, 841 or 1439, and say you just paid it cash, you just had that money laying around, it would cost you, averaged out over 40 years on the low end, $3,364 a week for the 841. And it would cost you $5,756 a week for the 1439. It don't sound quite so bad when you break it down to a. Now that would be what it would cost you for your room for 7 nights in a bungalow each and every year if you stayed there for 40 years.
Yeah, it's a lot of coin though. But I
Oh, it
think they're,
is.
and I don't think they're, and I'm almost positive I haven't read this, but I think every one of those bungalows are the same. I don't think there's any different bedrooms. I think they're all the same.
Yeah, then the only thing I can think of the
Because they're
difference,
like the tree houses.
right? Yeah, and I
It's
think
the
you're
peak
correct.
and the different times of the season is what the points is, I'm
Yeah.
thinking.
Yeah, that's probably exactly what it is, Doug. I was going to say, I know they renovated some of the rooms in the longhouses, but that's probably a different pricing structure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are just like the tree houses. Every one of them's identical. They're all the same. And I think that has to do with if you're going Christmas time, it's going to cost you $14.39. If you're
Right.
going the first week of February or something like that, I don't know, their off peak season will be like $8.41, or the first couple weeks of August when it's not peak down there. You know what I mean? That's what I think the difference is. I mean, I think it's, I understand it because they're premium places, but it's out of my league. It's way out
Oh,
of my league. I mean, you
absolutely.
could stay a week for what it's costing you for one night at a studio.
Right. Oh, there's no doubt about it. It's a novelty and it's out of most people's reach, I would think. And yeah, it's just, it'd be a fun thing or a bucket list thing to do. Maybe you grab a night there or something for a special occasion. But I don't think the availability will be there to just grab a night. Because I think when I read how they set this up is you actually can book in weeks during the year, like a traditional timeshare. I think that kind of changing the booking procedures for this particular DBC. So I'm sure all those weeks are going to fill up. And even if you wanted to grab a night, you probably, if you had the points or the cash, I don't think you could do it. I don't think they'll ever make it to the cash purchase, to be honest with you. I
No.
think the owners, whoever those people are going to suck up all those weeks.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about it, and you could say I'm wrong here because I know you're on the different side of the fence than me. I don't like the idea that DVC members have the right to buy this before anybody else. I
Well,
mean, you already own DVC, and if I want to buy DVC, why should you get the chance to eat the points up before I do? I
yeah,
mean, it's the only thing that Disney has ever done for loyal customers. Everything else, it's the complete opposite of everything else. And it's crazy that, and we'll get into this later because it's part of my topic I wanted to talk about. Like if you're a travel agent, they make you wait longer than normal people. If you're a military, they take care of you, but they got to make you jump through loopholes. If you're a cast member, you got all these procedures. But with DVC, they're giving you an advantage. I've never seen. It's the complete opposite of everything Disney does.
I see your point. I guess my answer to it would be is, but DVC pays for the construction and they pay for everything. So even though it's under the Disney name and it is a Disney product, I'm not saying that it isn't, they're self-sustaining, I guess. I mean, it's not costing really the Disney company anything. And I guess this is a way that they figure they can, show some loyalty to the people that have already invested in the product and have paid collectively to build all those buildings and restaurants and savannas and all that stuff down there. If it wasn't for DVC or these people paying the money, those wouldn't be there because Disney wouldn't have built them on their own.
Yeah, but the reason that DVC's there is because common folk come to the park, and the parks are so popular that it made DVC successful. And you can't tell me going over to the Polynesian and eating isn't going to help DVC in any way, if you understand what I'm saying. Or it would be like me owning in the development across the street, and a new house goes up for sale. Okay, everybody here in the development, you got first crack at buying this house. It
Right.
makes no sense to me.
Right. Well, what I would say, or how I would answer this, and this may be the one and only case where it actually becomes an issue, none of the places that DVC has built have ever sold out. So it isn't like anyone ever got shut out from buying something they wanted to buy.
I don't think the tree houses, I think the tree houses, when they went on sale, a lot of the DVC, it made a lot of people buy Saratoga Springs points over there.
Points. Yeah. But I mean, even 6 months later, there was still points available. So I guess what I'm saying, I would be more sympathetic to your point, I guess, if people had money in their pocket and wanted to buy at Saratoga because they love the tree houses, but all the previous DVC or all the DVC owners that currently own bought up all the points, so they were shut out. That wouldn't be right. But the fact of the matter is, to date, and it may change with the poly here, anybody that's wanted to buy in the DVC has been able to.
Now, how many other units do you know are going on this? Because this seems such a low end. Unlike all the other DVCs where there was massive amount of units, this doesn't seem like that big compared to, it isn't, compared
No,
to Bay
no.
Lake Tower, compared
Right.
to the Grand Floridian expansion, Saratoga Springs, Old Key West. All these other ones have hundreds of units.
Right.
This is how many units, but it's the bungalows, and how many does the longhouse have?
I don't think it's more than two. It's at least one of the longhouses, maybe two, but no more than that. So you're right. As far as room inventory goes, it's the smallest one they've ever done,
Yeah, I
I
could see
believe.
that being a problem, and that's why I'm bringing it up. But on the other hand, is it, on to go back against your argument, and I understand your argument that they've never been sold out. So
Right.
if they've never been sold out, why do that? Why slap the
Yeah.
outsiders that want to get in the face if they know it's not advantageous for them to say we're only selling the DVC because DVC isn't rebuying all the points anyway. So
Right.
why even make me feel shorted that they get to buy something 2 weeks before I do?
Right. Or you could flip it around and say, they're trying to make me feel good, like, oh, we appreciate you as a DVC member. We're giving you something, and they're really not giving me anything because you can buy the same thing I can, only you got to wait 3 weeks. It's just a matter of time.
Exactly, and you're making my point again. And when does Disney ever care once they have your money about making you feel
Right.
good?
True, true.
You know,
Generally, not too often.
yeah, exactly. Like they don't reward the loyal. They reward like I yell about my cable company as I get in fights with them, and we've talked about this for Verizon and Comcast. You'd be with them for 30 years, and you'll find out your nephew is getting his cable for $50 less a month because he's a new subscriber. And
Yeah.
nothing burns me up more than that. And
Right.
then you have to call in, and you got to beg and plead and tell them, I'm leaving you for Verizon, and getting this whole fight, and they end up giving it to you. But the point is, Disney does the same thing. They want to take care of new guests, not the person that goes every single day. And that's going to go into a part of the show we're coming out of, things that we wish Disney would do.
Right. Well, anyways, it is what it is, and it'll be interesting though because your exact point may come into play here. If all the Polynesian bungalow slash longhouse points sell out prior to them going on sale to the general public, there may be an outcry because, to be honest with you, I know a lot of people, or at least I've heard a lot of people say, I should say, that they were holding out from purchasing DVC until something came online at the Poly. They that would be the only way they'd buy in the DVC because it's their favorite resort. So there may be a fairly large pool of people that are not current DVC owners that plan on buying into this. So that may cause a little bit of friction. We'll have to see.
Well, I need another Bloody Mary after all that argument. I'm a little parched over here.
All right, let me get this news done so we can get into our show topic here. Disney's Animal Kingdom, they're updating the tour. What used to be the Backstage Safari will now be called the Backstage Tales. This change will take place on March 1st, and it will basically, I guess it's pretty much the same tour, but you'll experience the animal housing, the nutrition center, and the veterinarian facilities. It's a 3-hour tour, and it's $72 per person.
I would like to do it if I live there.
Yeah, I mean that's a bucket list thing for me. I definitely want to do. I actually I've never done a tour at all in Disney World, and that's something I got to change. But I've been kind of holding off. Kind of what you're saying. Maybe when I live there, or if I was going on an extended trip, 10+ days or something like that. But just never seems right to do a tour because it is a big investment in time, and especially if you're with,
You're
family
already so
members.
entertained.
Right. Yeah, and inevitably when you travel with a larger group, or I would guess the larger the group you travel with, some tours are not going to interest people, or they just don't want to do it, or don't want to pay the money, or it doesn't interest them. So it could be hard to, make time to do that and still keep everybody happy. But to your point, Doug, if you're down there and you live there, that'd be the perfect type thing to do, to just pop over for a morning or a day or whatever.
Well, the
Do
thing is, you already have your season pass, and the $70 hit don't seem that bad.
Yeah. I agree with that.
You know, when you're doing these tours are 100 here, you know, so if you spend an extra couple hundred a year after you already have your tickets paid for, it's not as big of a knockdown on your wallet as it is if you're just doing it on top after you're already spending 3 grand to go.
Yep,
On
no.
top of all that, it starts to add up, and then if you have kids, and now you're talking an extra tour is an extra $400.
Right. Yeah, it adds up quickly, and price of a ticket as it is so much. And like you said, there's so much world-class entertainment there that comes with your normal theme park admission to keep you busy and occupied, and then some. Sometimes it's hard to justify, the extra cost. And like you say, if you have a couple, two, three kids or whatever, or you're maybe traveling with mother or father or father-in-law or mother-in-law, I mean, next thing you know, you're blowing another $300, $400 easy.
Yeah, and then you also feel like you cheated yourself out of time that you could have spent doing other things, unlike if you lived there, you're doing them every week.
Right. Nope, totally agree with that. And another point when I was doing some research for this that I think is great, and Disney is great at this, part of all the tour proceeds go to the Disney World Worldwide Conservation Fund. And that's to, catch the poachers and take care of animals and all that stuff. And that's the same program that you buy them buttons we were talking about a few shows back, where you give them $1 or whatever you want to give them as a donation in each theme park. And I think we kind of figured out that most, if not all, of the resorts all have a slightly different button, different color, different logo, not logo, but different maybe images on there is what I should say. And you can collect them and also help out the
Yeah.
Worldwide Conservation Fund.
What I did the last time is I bought a couple because I gave my mother-in-law and somebody else when I paid $1 for them. But the other two I got for myself was I bought something for like $17 and told the lady to keep the change and give me the pin.
Yeah, that.
You know, that's the way I've done it. Like when you hand a 20 or a 10, if it's like something for $6, $7, just tell them to keep the change and give you a pin. And it doesn't hurt as bad that way for some reason. And you're doing a good thing. You feel happy about it.
Yeah, I've always, and you're absolutely right, Doug. I mean, I say $1. I mean, I don't think I would dare, not that anyone carries pocket change anymore these days, but I suppose you could give them a quarter and they'd still give you the pin. There's
Yeah.
no, I don't believe there's a minimum or maximum amount.
No, not that I know of. I mean, there's no monetary value that I've heard that there's an actual price
Right.
point of it, but usually it's at least $1.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that. I think anybody that tried to give less than that, I'd.
Unless it's a little kid, you know, going up and
Right,
giving there,
right.
then that's cool. But a parent, come on. No,
Yeah,
no.
right. And
And
again,
don't
the
give your kid the quarter and go get it
right.
either. I know you. I know you're out there. I know the
Yeah.
type. You
Nah,
know,
but I.
sending that cute little girl with a little princess outfit on to go get a couple pins for you for 75 cents. Come on
Right.
now.
Yeah. No, but I think that's a great thing that Disney does in Animal Kingdom Park itself. I mean, they're into conservation, and obviously they care deeply about the animals, not only in their theme park but all over the world. And they do all kinds of stuff, like I said, with poachers and just trying to educate people, and extinct animals or animals that are almost extinct. They're working to try to bring the population back. So they do a lot of great work.
Well, that's the wonderful thing, and is that it for you with the news?
That is.
Okay, so I'll go into this and then we'll start our topic.
Okay.
That's the wonderful thing that I love about Disney World, and that's one of the things that put me over the top with Disney World is every time you go to a Disney amusement park, if it's Studios, Animal Kingdom, Epcot, or the Magic Kingdom, you're learning something. You don't even realize you're learning it. Disney sneaks it right by you, and they're actually educating you every single time you step foot in their parks,
Right.
unlike any other parks. And that's what I love about it. You go home at night, and you've actually learned something, even if you forgot something. I'll go through the American Adventure, and every time I come out of there remembering something that I should have, you know, that I forgot. If you understand what I'm saying, it re-educates you every time you're at the Disney parks. And that's one of the things I love about them, and that's what I especially love about Animal Kingdom, because it's teaching people how to treat their animals, take care of their animals, and teaching them not to forget about the animals because they play such an important part in our lives.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, this goes back to Walt. We've all seen the, shorts and different, film clips of him with, a lion or a tiger on his desk, I think it is, or whatever. And he had wanted to do a animal theme park, back when he was alive and all that, obviously. And if you remember, I mean, that's part of where we got the Jungle Cruise from, because originally he wanted to have live animals on that, route, if you will, but they quickly learned, or they did some research, that the lions aren't going to come out. They're going to go hide, and people are going to be driving through with these boats, and they're not going to see much of anything, because animals are going to do what they want to do, not what you want them to do. And that's how we ended up with the audio animatronic animals in Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, because he wasn't just going to build a little pod to sit out there. He was going to have something cutting edge. He wanted as lifelike as it possibly could be. So we got the best of both worlds out of that.
We sure did. I mean, it took many, many years after his passing to see Animal Kingdom come to fruition. But I think he'd love that park if he could see it and come back and look at it. I mean, I think a lot of what's in there would make him proud.
Absolutely. Well, you know how proud of that park I am. I'm a big component of that park.
This is true. So, what do you say we get into our topic today?
We're going to do a little thing of what we wish for in 2015 or the future in the parks, what we'd like to see, the changes we'd like to see Disney make in their parks,
Okay.
or to the parks, or in the Disney company in general. So, you got one for me, Dan?
Oh, well, you're going to put me on the dime here. Okay, I'll start out with a
I'm a
small one.
gentleman. I start,
Yeah,
you know,
you're all right.
I let you go first.
Now, this is a small one, and this is more of the Disney company, I guess, but it's a pet peeve of mine, so I figured I'd bring it up. And I might have mentioned it in the past, but I'm going to bring it up here because it's appropriate. As you know, I'm a big proponent of saving for vacation on Disney gift cards, and they're a wonderful thing, I think, of a way to put a little bit of money away for vacation or for your next Disney trip without, getting it out of your checking account, or getting it, out of your hands and into an account where it's going to be earmarked for Disney. But the thing that kind of, I guess the only problem with Disney gift cards that I've encountered is they won't let you roll them all up into one card. And there's ways around this. And I know when you check in, you can have them take all the cards off. But I wish that when like you say, Doug, you ask people, or people know that you go to Disney, so they might buy you a $50 gift card or a $25 gift card.
Started getting them for Christmas already.
Right. So you may have 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, who knows, by the time you go, of different gift cards in your possession. And in my view, it'd be nice if you could just take them to a Disney store, say you had, 50, 25 on each one, and just put them all on one, just to make it easier. It's just, to me, it's a tracking thing, and they will not let you do that. Once that money is on a gift card, it needs to stay there, and you can't move it around. And like I said, but I've also checked in at, resorts and said I have these gift cards, and they'll let you plunk them down 25 at a time towards your balance or your room, if you have money left to pay in your room. But that's something I wish that Disney would change in the coming year. It would be more flexibility with the gift cards.
Yeah, and I'll expand on that a little bit. I wish they would just allow you, now that we have my Disney experience, and anybody that owns a Magic Band or has, because I could reboot my Magic Bands at any time and go back to the parks, because I have an account now. I wish anybody that had an account could just get online with their computer, give the gift card, and download the gift card on to your
Magic
account.
Band. Oh, yeah, my
Your
right.
account. You'd have your own Disney account. When anybody gives you a gift card, you could just go in, log it in. This way, if you want to go to the Disney store, that account should be able to work there too.
Right.
It should.
Across all the different Disney, whether you go to the cruise line or the Disney store or Disneyland or Disney World, it would be in that account, and you could just pay for something out of it.
Yeah, they should have your own little Disney bank account.
Oh, I agree. And in principle, I would think Disney would like that because the money's in their coffers and they're making interest off it. It's not in your checking account. Not that you make any interest these days, but you know what
No.
I mean.
It would be so awesome. Like every time somebody gave me a gift card, I just opened up my Disney experience in my account and loaded the 25 or 50 bucks they gave me. And then it's on my Magic Band.
Right.
I wish the Magic Bands myself would work. You go right to the Disney store and pay for your stuff.
Right.
I mean, really. I mean, I well, why not?
Yeah, that technology is probably coming, and you know, with this Apple Pay, I know you and I discussed that at length, I think, off air, but you know, I think there's a lot of possibilities right around the corner that, you know, may make the Disney gift cards obsolete if Apple Pay works as well, or it works as they say it's going to. I think something like what you're saying may be right around the corner.
I hope so, because it would make life easier. Like I said, like every trip I go on, I make sure I have to remember how many gift cards I have, because I have an area up on my upstairs desk. I put them, and you
Right.
always feel like you're missing one. Did I have more than that? I thought I
Right.
had $380 worth, not four. I not 280.
Right.
Where did that other 100? Oh, there it is. You know what I mean? It's like it would stop all that. As soon as I would get it, I would put it in my Disney account.
Right. I mean, as it is now, I take a Sharpie marker and I write the, you know, how much money is on each card. Because, you know, when I'm down at the park, you know, there was one trip I had six or seven. I had 50, 75. And, you know,
Yeah.
you try, like you said, you're juggling around trying to keep, you know, whatever one you've actively been using, you want to burn that one first. And sometimes you grab the wrong one. And,
Yeah, well, I was taking two a day with me, because the last trip we went, I had 600 and some dollars worth of them.
right.
So what I would do is I would take two with me, like 250s or two, you know, because I knew what I was going to kind of do that day.
Right.
And then I would come back and reload. Brenda, go, where are you going? I'm going into the safe, grabbing two more gift cards. But
Right.
it's like, it shouldn't have to be that way.
Right.
I
No,
should be able to log on at night onto my Disney experience and see what I spent on my gift cards that day,
Right.
what the total's down to.
Right. Well,
That would be a lot easier.
they have the Disney gift card has their own app which you can download for free. And the good thing about that, and you know, it works, that, you know, they have a mobile app too. You can actually see that as you make a transaction. It's
But
pretty
I'm
that's
saying all of them combined is what
right.
my point
No,
is.
I hear what you're saying. You have to go on each card individually, but you
Yeah.
know, they do have a way that you can see exactly what your balance is and what you've paid and all that. I mean, you know,
Yeah.
what's been taken out of it,
But
which.
it would be nice if it was just on the band and you started your trip off with $625. When you went back to the room that night, you seen you had 557 left.
Right.
Oh,
Well,
that's what I'm hoping for.
I think that's coming, Doug.
Me too. That's why we're mentioning here, so we could be clairvoyant, Dennis.
Yes, exactly. We told you so.
Mine's another
You got?
little one. It's a
Okay.
little one. I got a big couple bigger ones later, but this is my one of my pet peeves that just, okay, we're at $100 a day for park tickets, Disney. How about you just let us go to all four parks if we want to and stop gouging us for a freaking park hopper? I mean, the day of the park hopper with all this technology and everything else, you got to stop it. I think it's an outrage. I think it's outrageous that if I spend $100 and I want to go to Epcot and get on Soarin', I want to go to Animal Kingdom and get on Everest, if I want to go on Magic Kingdom and do Mine Train and go to the tower and go get on Tower of Terror, I should be able to for $100. I'm tired of them gouging you for the extra money for a stinking park hopper. I think they should do away with it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a hidden cost. I see what you're saying. I mean, what do they get you for 20 bucks more to for it's a park hop or whatever it
It's
is?
60 bucks for the week. I
Right.
mean, come on, Disney. I mean, be above that. I mean, if you're with a family, I mean, like we're talking about now, and especially now on top of everything with all these darn special events that are literally that people, if they're not paying attention and the Magic Kingdom closes at 7 o'clock, they're screwed for 3 hours because they didn't go to Epcot. It was open to 10, and then that had extra magic hours to 11 or 12.
Right,
I
right.
think it's wrong. You should not. You guys are doing so many special events that you got to then stop with the park hoppers, because you're hurting people. You're gouging people for more money for the special events, and then you're taking money away from people because they didn't realize that the park was closing at 7 o'clock. Because God forbid they had four kids that they were paying attention to.
Yeah, I mean, they could just build it into the price, and if they did that, you know, they'd pass it on. But then again, we have this you know, I would think we're going to go over it this year for a single day admission. It'll be over $100, but you know, just build it into the price. And like you said, you buy a ticket to Walt Disney World and you're able to go to, like you said, you should be able to roam freely anywhere on that property for that fee and not have to worry about, you know, do I have park hopper option or not?
Like in February, and I'm not being smart, and this is just another point I'm going to make. Say in February you're down there, and February really isn't that crowded, but that's when the cheerleader competitions are going on. Now, who in their right mind besides us that are Disney, we're in the cult, we love Disney, we know everything. But how many people, if you surveyed 10 people that were going to Disney World in February, I bet you 9 of them wouldn't have any clue that the cheerleader competition's there if for their week. Would you agree with me on that?
No, why would you?
Okay, so say you pick the day that all the cheerleaders decide they're going to the studios.
Right.
And you're there and that's your day. Should you be penalized for that when Epcot or Animal Kingdom has nobody in it?
No, you're absolutely right. And we've all been there. I mean, you know, got off the bus and saw this, you know, massive cheerleaders and chaperones and all that stuff getting off, and you don't know what you're into except for probably massive waits in line and all that stuff.
We had that a couple Februarys ago when we went down with Mom, and my godson loved it. He was 16. The cheerleaders, I mean, I never seen a smile. The kid was bum and tired. We woke him up early to get him to the park, and we get him there, and oh my God, it was like he took five espresso shots. You know, he was happy as could be. Me, Mark, my wife, and all, like, oh my goodness, we got all these lines. We wanted to leave, and he wanted no part of leaving.
Right, right.
But
that's a great one. And again, now all they would have to do is change the the ticket structure around, and just roll it all up into one, and it is what it is. Like I said, it would just bump everything, at least right now, over $100. So maybe that's why they don't want to do it. But I agree. That's a great one.
What's it costing them? You're at every park anyway. You're going to go to another park, and if you could spend 3 more hours, if it closes, are you going to make the park hopper money back?
Right.
You're going to spend money. I just think it's one of the gouges that don't need to be there.
No, that's a great one. I totally agree. Let's see, my number two, this kind of harkens back to a few years ago, but this, not that I use it that often, I probably would have used it more often or would use it more often in the future if they made this change the way it used to be, but I wish they'd make the Disney dining plan back to all-inclusive like it used to be. I'm the type of person, I want to pay for my dining plan if I chose to do it that way, and I want it paid for. I want the tip paid for. If I want an appetizer, I want that paid for. If I want a dessert, I want that paid for. The fact that you pay X amount of dollars for, you know, whatever plan you get, the quick service or the sit down or whatever, but this isn't included, that isn't included, the tip isn't included, so it really isn't capturing the whole cost of your dining for the time that you're there. And, excuse me, and some of the dining plans, as you know, only cover 2 meals a day. If you're a 3-meal family, if you will, you know, you're also paying out of pocket for breakfast if you're going to use lunch and dinner as part of your dining plan. So my only point here, and I know it would cost more, and I'm not even talking about cost. I'm just talking about if I want to pre-purchase all my meals for the week that I'm down there, and it's going to be, you know, $2,500 for the 4 of us or whatever it is, I just want to pay that, and I don't have to worry about keeping extra money aside for paying all those additional hidden costs, if you will.
Oh, I agree with you. I understand exactly where you're coming from. I think it should have the I don't think they should have took the appetizer out of it. I think they should have kept the price point with the appetizer. It was, again, Disney needed to make that extra couple bucks, and they do it every time. My only difference is I always believe in giving the server cash. So I would like to see everything else included for the price point, but I like to tip my servers in cash every time we go out. 99% of the time, me and my wife bring enough with us, because this way the server gets their money. They're not worrying about what their taxes are, waiting 2 weeks. Because if you pay a server with a credit card, they don't get paid from the company for a week or so. So now they're making minimum wage and don't get their tip at the end of the night.
Yeah, that's not right.
So that's how it works. I've bartended, I've worked in the industry. What happens is they'll get a paycheck from the company, and if you get paid biweekly and you're only making minimum wage and you're not giving tips, now you're waiting for 2 weeks to get paid. You understand what I'm saying? At least if you're getting cash at the end of the night, it lets them survive because they're not making what a normal job makes, the servers.
Right, no, I understand that, but it's a shame, and I commend you for thinking that way and thinking about the cast members. But again, it gets back to the kind of point we were making on last week's show with some of this stuff. Well, shame on Disney. They're their employees, their cast members. You as the guest shouldn't have to worry about taking care of the cast member. If they worked in good faith and they were on shift and there's ways to track that, they clock in or punch in or whatever. Disney should front them that money, and they should wait to get the money back from the credit card or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying?
You're right, but every company does that. Your local diner. Like last night, we went out to Bonefish. We went out for anniversary dinner, blah, blah, blah. I paid the bill with the credit card, but I gave the girl her tip in cash because they do the same thing. Every company that works, if you pay with a credit card, and my wife's the one that really brought this to my attention because one of her girls that worked with her years and years ago worked at a restaurant part-time,
Right.
and she'd say, I'm getting my tip check this week. Some places pay monthly, the
Wow.
tip check.
Right.
So if you're, I mean, tell me it isn't nicer as a waitress if you're leaving Le Cellier at the end of the night and everybody tipped you cash, you're going home with three bills cash in your pocket compared to waiting, you're leaving with nothing in your pocket if everybody's paying through credit card, which most people don't.
Right. No, I understand that, and I can Your wife will know this, I'm sure, if she has a Starbucks app, but they just started this about 6 months ago. Just like any other, place that, you tip the staff that works there. They have a little jar or whatever out there in the counter, and you throw a buck in there or whatever you decide to do. But they came up through the came out with, I should say, through the Starbucks app, where you pay for something with your card that's on your app. It's like a gift card, only it's on your app, and now you can tip electronically. So I've started doing that, and it's funny you say that, because I almost asked the manager the other day. I wanted to know how the tips were distributed. Like, at the end of each shift, do they calculate all the tips that were sent in via the app and then divide them equally amongst everyone that worked? I mean, I'm just
Yeah.
curious, because
It's
I find it convenient to do that,
but it's
just.
probably monthly then. They probably
Yeah.
put that tip jar in their account,
Right.
draw a month's worth of interest off it, then disperse it to the employees. I'm not saying that's for sure, but that's wouldn't you rather if you're a worker then just leave the place that night with the money in your hand? And
Yeah.
that's the way I look at it. These are young kids, and a lot of them, or not even young kids, a lot of them are just they're surviving, and they 90% of your servers live off their tips. And if you have to wait weeks for it, because now everybody's becoming electronically advanced, they're the ones, again, the weakest link is taking the hit.
Yeah, and right, and that's more of a philosophical argument, I guess. And you're right, Disney isn't doing anything worse or better than anyone else. It's just the way the
It is.
food industry works. You're absolutely right,
So
but.
we take it upon ourselves to make sure we take enough cash with us to Disney World. So we pay for everything else with, gift cards or a credit card, A&E, American Express or whatever. But we take enough money with us to buy snacks, so you don't want to, you have money, but to make sure we have enough to tip the servers for the week so that we know they're going home with cash that night.
Yeah, but you hit the nail on the head a few seconds ago when you said that everybody's getting more electronically advanced. That's so true. I mean, I found myself this Christmas season, for instance, how the Salvation Army sets up in front of all the, like your Wawa down there, or different, food stores. And I'm telling you, there was a half a dozen times throughout the Christmas season, I didn't have any cash money on me, and I don't have pocket change anymore. I mean, I have my bank cards and I do everything electronically, and I felt bad. The guy's ringing the bell or the woman's ringing the bell, and I gotta walk by quickly with my head down, because or look him in the eye and say, "Sorry, guy, I don't have any cash." He's probably saying, "Yeah, you cheap bugger," But I mean, that's the reality of today. People don't lug around cash like they used to. Now, to your point, going to Disney World, you're going to be tipping, and if you do a little pre-planning, you can solve that problem.
Yeah, see, I have my train of thoughts because I'm old school, in some ways, and I'm technology, you know, I run this site, blah, blah, I mean, the show, and I am into it. I have the iPods, iPads, the whole nine yards. I love all that stuff. But I
Right.
still believe you go into Wawa in the morning and you're buying your me, my snack or my soda or whatever, or coffee for my brother. I hate waiting behind a guy that has to sit there and dig out his card, swipe his card, punch in his numbers. Then he missed his number. I believe if you're going to be spending less than $10, if you're going there, pay cash. Or I think these stores should have a cash line and a debit and credit line.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but it's got so much better. And just a point counterpoint here. I mean, my Starbucks app is on my phone. I get out of my car, I bring that app up. My transaction takes less than a second,
That's
literally,
fine if you're
less
if
than a
they're set up
second.
that way, but Wawa is not. And a
Right.
lot of your convenience stores are not. It's like, it's too much. I understand it at Acme and stuff like that. I mean, the person who writes the check that is in the store already, that waits to fill out the name of the store in front of them, should be picked up and set aside somewhere. I mean, like,
Right.
my brother does that. We're going to Home Depot, and he'll get to the register, and he'll be, finally, he has a debit card because we kindly, I think, because we shamed him so much. But
Right.
he would literally wait till we got there. I'm like, Don, you knew we were coming to Home Depot. Why didn't you have your name filled out, the memo that it's for such and such a job, your signature on it? Everything else should have been the date. Everything should have been filled out except for the amount.
Right.
Who do you think wants to wait for you?
Well, it's funny you say that because, again, we all, as, people of a certain age, we remember checks and that was commonplace. But I'm going to predict, in the not too distant future, they ain't going to accept checks anymore because everything's instantaneous. You used to be able to write a check and they had no way to,
Well,
see
now
if
if
there was even money in that account.
well
Now
now
everything is, go ahead, Doug.
I'm sorry, but now
No, no.
they do have that. Then it's to the point now, because I pay my Comcast and my Verizon bill. There's two stores, like, literally I'm 2 minutes away. So instead of writing the check, mail the check, blah blah blah, I stop right in the store and they take my check and run it right through the machine. I can run it right through a machine now and pay it instantly.
And if you go online and check, that money will be out of your account.
Exactly. Like, it literally rings it up the minute you're, like, yesterday I had a problem because they overcharged me for something. I went in there and wrote the check on the spot.
Right.
And he walked me over to the machine, which I've done it too. The machine takes the check the same way it takes a credit card. It kind of works like an ATM machine, how you deposit your check.
Yeah.
Now it just takes the money out.
Right. And again, not to get into the nuances of how you do your banking or whatever, but I assume you have a debit card associated to that checking account. So why
Exactly.
would you even use a check to begin with?
Well, I like the receipt.
You're still a little skeptical. You don't trust that you'll get your monthly statement and be able to see all that.
Yeah, I just like to go through, like, as I like to open up the book and see if, make sure I had those checks paid. It's easier to me. I'm still to the point where I can grab my checkbook and flip through it and remind myself instead of having to log on the computer, punch in my account number, blah, blah, blah. I can have my checkbook sitting on my desk and look at what you paid.
No, hey, I can't trash you for that. I mean, I was where you are a few years ago, but
But
I
perfect
just let
example,
it
the
go.
trouble you had the other day with you downloaded a program on your computer and it crashed. So what if your stuff's crashed? At least I still have a copy.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, I used to do my bills every month, and I used to print. You know how when you pay make a payment online or whatever, it says, print out this receipt. And I had manila folders and hanging file folders for all
Yeah.
them, and I'd print them out and keep. I just stopped doing that. They
Yeah, I
give
hear
you
you.
a confirmation number. I just write the confirmation number down, the transaction number, and knock on wood, I'll probably jinx myself. I've never had a problem.
But my point is if Sony could get hacked, my Wells Fargo can.
Sure. Yeah. I guess we're all,
So I, my
right.
checks, I'm just, I like writing the check, dude. I'm on a,
Hey, it's personal preference. There's no
but
right
I
or
pay for everything at the store with bank cards or account.
Okay.
So my next pet peeve is, and it's not nothing crazy, it's just, you guys know how much Dennis loves Pluto and how much I love Presley. I wish the Disney resorts would actually step into the future and allow you to bring your pet with you on vacation if you wanted to. They could have rooms that don't have carpet or all solid surfaces, clean surfaces, because I know nobody wants to smell somebody else's. But sometimes you don't want to put your pet away. You'd like to bring it with you. Wouldn't you like to see Disney have a full-fledged animal resort?
I think I would. I don't think I would utilize it only because just talking for my own pets, even if I could do that, to leave him or her in the room, or it, I guess, in the room all day. And I know you can come back and you can walk them, or you can probably under, this pet motel that you're talking about, you could, potentially have somebody walk them during the day or whatever. But I just think of the liability and the, they're already anxious because they're in a new place and you're going to leave them. And I don't know.
Yeah, because they have the whole area over there now. The one of the
Across
best
from
friends,
Riverside.
yeah, best friends pet resort.
Right.
What if they built a resort there that also linked up to that, where you could take the dog over for the day, you leave it at the resort, and then you could bring it back to your room at night. So you're not stressed over it. It
Right.
would just be an extension. Because I have a lot of people that want to go on vacation. Like my brother goes every year. His wife will not leave her dogs. A lot of people think of their dogs as their family. I do too. But I can leave Presley. But the point is, I wouldn't mind taking him one time to Disney World. As corny as it sounds, I'd like to say, we're going to Disney, Pres. You know what I mean? Just to walk him around the grounds, blah blah blah. I know it probably won't happen, but it's something that I think would be pretty neat if it did.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say it won't, Doug, because I'm 99.9% sure that Universal has maybe not a dedicated hotel, but a segment of one of their hotels down there that is pet friendly. I think it's the original one, and you can book and bring your cat or dog, and stay on their property. So I don't think it's totally out of the question that Disney wouldn't do that at some point. I mean, again, if it makes money and they can charge an upcharge or whatever, they might consider doing that.
Yeah, because it could be with today's technology, and I'm not saying they won't do it, but I don't see it anytime like tomorrow. I'd see it off in the future. But if they with all the granites, the laminate floorings, the tile that looks like wood. I mean, there's so many different things that you could use that you wouldn't have to worry about a problem. They have solid flooring now that you know what I'm saying, that they could do that wouldn't be a problem, where you wouldn't have to worry about smelling the dog or the cat that was in the room before you. You know what I mean? So,
They just use non-porous surfaces that can be cleaned, on the surface.
yeah, I mean, it would just be nice. Stainless steel you could have for the sinks and you know what I'm saying? Just to make it where the next person isn't worried about how bad your dog smells. But I think it would help, because my brother and my sister-in-law have never stayed on property because she won't leave her dogs. She loves her dogs more than my brother. I am gonna say it.
No, and I got to agree with you, and I'm the same way as you. Over the years, the pets that we've had, it rips my heart out when we leave to see them so upset going to the kennel, or even if we're having somebody stay at the house. I mean, it was to the point our last German Shepherd, Mickey, if we pull a suitcase out, he would freak out. He would start going ballistic because he knew when he saw that suitcase, the whole family was leaving, because he had experienced us, going to Disney twice a year for, 6, 7 years or whatever. And that was a huge point of anxiety for him. So I understand people that are, attached to their pets, as we all are. It's a very anxious thing, whether you can leave or not. I mean, I look at it like this. I'm going to Disney World. It bums me out that I'm going to miss my pet, but I'm not going to go to Disney World because of it.
No, it doesn't stop me either, but it's like my Presley, he's gotten the same way over the past few months with us headed down to my sister-in-law's. And please, everybody say prayers for her, because she's going through some health issues. And please pray for her, because she could use all your support, guys. But with us going back and forth down to North Carolina to help her, we've left my dog between Disney World and going down to her. We've left Presley multiple times in the past few months. And I wouldn't mind if there was a hotel by her that I could take him, I would take him down with us, just because he's getting that anxiety where we're constantly leaving him now.
He not that he doesn't trust you, but he can sense when something's up. You start making trips to the truck or the car or whatever, and he says, "Uh-oh, this again,"
The same thing with the suitcase. He knows I'm gone when he sees that suitcase. But it's just the point, I wouldn't mind having my I would like to take my dog. I'm not saying every trip, but I would like to have the option of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, who knows? Like you said, with that pet care center there, which, someday I'm going to, well, I'm going to be at Riverside in the spring on a resort day. I may take a walk over there just to see the facility. I think it'd be neat to just see what it looks like. And, I don't know that they'll let you in the actual kennel, but I
Yeah,
think
they
it'd be
will.
cool. I think it'd be cool to check that out.
They will. They have a facility, Best Friends Animal Care. It's in my town here. It's in the town where my wife works.
Yep.
We almost put Presley in there for my brother and sister-in-law didn't stay.
Right.
And they're the same resort that's down in Disney World. They'll let you walk through. You just walk in and say, "Listen, my next trip, I'm thinking about bringing my dog down, and I'm
Right.
thinking about boarding him here. Can I see the facility?" And they'll walk you right through it.
Show you what kennels are available, what sizes, what the different options are, and all that good
Yeah, they have
stuff.
all these cleaning packages, I mean, the trimming, the bathing, you name it. They have,
Right,
your
right.
dog could go on resort for the week
Well, hey, that may not be a
on
bad
vacation.
idea. Yeah. And then if you don't want to go to the animal kingdom, you can burn a day over there, right?
Yeah, they have the walking area and all where you can take him out and walk the dog. It's pretty nice. I've seen it. We actually pulled in the parking lot and looked at it.
Ah, so
So.
you did do a little on-scene investigation there.
Yeah, because I was thinking about in the future. That's one of the interviews I thought about doing, calling that facility and see if they would do an online interview with us about the facilities and what the price range is and stuff like that. So maybe that's something we can add a little segment in the future.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, because they have a whole dog walking park there for you. So you can go during the day and walk and hang out with your pet. So that's an option.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, some people that won't leave their pets, it's either that or you don't go to Disney World. So if that's what you got to do to make it happen, then so be it.
Yeah, because you can come in anytime you want. They actually, I think if you board there, they make you come once a day to walk your dog.
Okay, all
I
right.
think it's one of the arrangements with that facility. I have to double check, but I think that's how it is. You have to go and walk the dog.
Well, I would think you'd want to anyways. I mean, if
Absolutely.
you weren't going to do that, you might as well
Leave it
kennel him
home.
back home. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but Don and Lori won't even go for that, man. They got to have their dog in bed with them every night.
Wow. Well, hey, I can't criticize anybody for that because we all love our pets, as
Yeah.
we know. It's just different levels, I guess.
My 70-pound beast sleeps on the foot of the bed. So.
All right. Are we my turn?
Yes.
Okay. Something I'd like to see changed in 2015, kind of keeping on the same theme that we've been going here, which I'm not surprised we're going down this road, but pet peeve of mine, and I think you'll agree with me, given the fact that you're a travel agent, enough of this going on the Disney website and listed prices not included the tax. That drives me crazy, and I know why they do it. It's a numbers game, it's a shell game. Just put a disclaimer at the top of your website, Disney. All prices quoted for tickets, packages, rooms, rentals, scooters, whatever they're selling, I don't care what it is, includes the 6.5% sales tax. There's nothing more aggravating when you're trying to figure something out for budgetary reasons, or you're booking a trip for yourself, or you're trying to find out some information for somebody, and then you're only to look to see that, well, okay, my annual pass is this, but oh, now I got to do some math. Not that I'm worried about doing math. That's not my complaint, but just make it easy. Just make it all inclusive, so you know the numbers are all. If you're buying two things for $50, your bill is going to be $100. Done. I just that drives me crazy.
I mean, to me now, and you're right, and I agree with that for the longest time, and I still do, but I've been, because I have the Disney travel site search engine, if you understand what I'm saying, mine are added in. So I don't have the problem as much as you do if you follow me. Like, the price is what it is when it's done for me, but I understand exactly what you're talking about as a normal citizen booking your trip. There are
Right.
loopholes that you're not seeing, and there's a lot of surprises that come around the corner.
Yeah, and you know, if you book, if you say you're doing a package, not a package, if you're booking a vacation for yourself as just Joe Schmo or whatever, so you call up, and again, if you are buying tickets and a room and all those things that go with it, you know, it adds up. It's $10 here, it's, you know, $5 here. You know, next thing you know, you're thinking something's going to cost $10, and it's actually, you know, $12.50. It's not a big deal from a money perspective, but why make it more difficult than it needs to be? It just, I don't, you got to pay the tax. You're not going to get around it. It's not like some people, excuse me, some people pay tax and some people don't. You know, you got to pay, and it doesn't matter where you live. I mean, everybody pays the Florida sales tax. So, I mean, just roll it all up. But again, I think it's a way for Disney to kind of massage the numbers and keep
Makes
things
it look
looking
less than what it
lower.
is.
Exactly,
Yeah, because if you're booking
exactly.
a whole package, it could be a few hundred dollars, and a few hundred
Right.
dollars makes a change.
But I mean, man, you know, this is just me. I'm going to Disney World. I know I'm gonna pay through the nose. I know it's expensive. I just want to know what it is and not be aggravated with the, you know, stupid tax thing. So, and anyways, if Disney's listening, if you could do that for me on your website and all the products that you sell, I would be very happy.
One other one I have is, I mean, for all the money that we spend to stay at their hotels, and I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it, and I know it's never going to happen, but I have to keep pissing and moaning about it. I don't understand how Disney has to charge everybody for breakfast. I don't understand why you stay on their property. Give me a $5 voucher. I mean, make me feel the same as when I stop at the Holiday Inn Express, where I get a free breakfast. And when
Right.
you stay on Disney property for a couple hundred dollars a night, you still got to go down and buy breakfast. I mean, give me a bagel. Give me a free coffee. How about just give everybody coffee in the morning? I mean anything.
Right.
Maybe a $5 voucher, $3 voucher. I don't know. Maybe everybody gets a $5 credit every morning towards their breakfast. There's not a breakfast down there that's $5. You'd still have to pay a little towards it.
Right.
But it's just the principle. I mean, I don't know, and I know they never will, but me and Brenda, 'cause we drive every time we go,
Yep.
and we always stay at a hotel at least one way, either way, and every morning we're eating for free, it bugs us. We're saying, this place is feeding us, and the place that we're spending $3,000 on, we can't get a free cracker.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because we, you know, when we used to drive down, we'd do the same thing. We always stayed in St. Augustine, and we'd stay at a Best Western. I don't know whatever it was. There's a nice little one downtown there. And anyways, the first morning we got up, we had bagels and juice and toast and cereal and and we paid what, $72 a night or whatever it was. And
Exactly.
you know, it wasn't anything great, but it was, you know, something we didn't have to spend another, you know, $25 on to go to the diner or whatever. And I know exactly what you're saying. At Disney, unless you're in concierge or something like that, and even then, the choices are limited. You don't get any of them bennies like that.
But for what you're saying, for the prices we're paying for the rooms per night, we're all in concierge. I mean, come on, man.
Right,
I mean, that's
right.
even insulting when and I know there's the uppity uppity and the and people who love it, and yeah, I know you can afford it, and I've stayed at all the hotels too. But nothing bums you out more when you're staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, the Polynesian, the Wilderness Lodge, and you're already paying $300, $250, $300 a night, and then there's still a concierge level. Bite me.
Yeah, right. You can stay here, but you're not the, you know, you're not that special, you know.
I mean, it's just the point. It's like, why is it okay? So I had to spend another 100 a night. I'm still paying for my food at concierge anyway.
Right.
I know you like the advantage of walking out your room and not have to put your buck in the Coke machine. You can go grab one,
Right.
but you already prepaid for that, so you better go. So if I when I stay at concierge, I feel like a thief. I feel like I gotta be in that room every day.
You got to take advantage of that, right?
Yeah, you're eating at La Cellier. You're like, we should be at the concierge.
Right. They might have shrimp or something or whatever, you know. I've heard different stories on that. That where do they do that? At like the all the deluxe resorts, I think, do it. And I've heard mixed reviews on how good the food is, and I think you get beer, wine, and soft drinks and stuff. But you're right. If I was getting it for free, I'd be like, "Yeah, we should be back there pounding this stuff down and taking advantage of it," you know?
Yeah, you feel like when you stay at concierge, you feel like you should be in concierge room. Somebody should be in there every minute of the day. If you're sitting watching TV, you're like, I got to run over there and grab some. I'm not getting my money's worth.
Right. That's
But
funny.
if you're already paying $300 a night to stay at the Poly or at the Grand Floridian, or and then
Boardwalk or the beach club or
yeah,
whatever.
$349 you get concierge. I mean, come on, man. I should be already.
Yeah, you're right.
You're already bleeding me. Now, if I'm staying at that same place in Jamaica or Appleville, somebody like on an island, all the food's included in most of these resorts for $300 a night.
Right.
I
Yeah,
mean,
that's the sickness we have. As crazy as all that is that we've discussed so far to this point, which has been pretty much around money and cost, we still keep going back and we'll continue to do so
we
because we
will,
love
because we
it.
have a sickness. We love to play, and I understand. I'm not one that complains. Like, I know it costs less to go there for a week than it does to go to the Jersey Shore, and I'm an advocate. I push everybody. Everybody calls me the Disney insane guy, and I am happy to carry that banner. But there's just certain things that enough is enough already.
No,
Throw me a bone. Throw a drowning man an anchor. Let
I
me have
hear
a
you.
free school bread once in a while, Disney, please.
Right. Yeah. When you so many nights you stay there or something, you're right. You're not looking for a week's free stay at Disney
No.
World, but just a little something to make you feel like you earned it, you know?
Exactly. And I've been saying that since I started the show, the very first few episodes. I don't understand. I'll never understand why frequent flyers there don't have. Everything in the entire country has a rewards program. Am I wrong?
Pretty much, whether it's a rental car, an airline, whatever.
Every place you walk in, the Advanced Auto Parts, are you with our rewards program?
Right.
Disney's the only place that does not reward anybody for frequent, besides Comcast. We talked about that, but I'm
Right.
talking about a
Right.
place like Comcast. You got to have cable or whatever, but
Right.
you're going here. It's the only place that doesn't reward you for multiple stays, like going back, spending money. Don't you wish, especially now with these bands, they have the technology. If you're checking in, coming back and forth, spending money there, you should get something. Like the casinos throw you, they comp your room. I wouldn't even care if they comp me a lunch.
Right.
Give me something for our 44 visits that I've made since 97.
Right. No, you're totally right. We've covered this in depth and talked about it. It's crazy. But again, until people rise up and stop going, which we know that's not going to happen, they have no incentive to. It's just like, to loop back to your point about the breakfast, the continental breakfast. Think of the, again, and we know why they're doing it. Think if they just said, you know what, we're going to offer, continental breakfast at each of our home, for our guests, blah, blah, blah. They would lose millions and millions and millions of dollars in a year. That's why they don't do it. Just think of all those families at those food courts in the morning that are cranked, all the places on Main Street or, the bakery and all that stuff, people that are buying. I mean, it's millions of dollars. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, but it wouldn't kill them to throw you a free cookie with your breakfast. I mean, just something, man.
I
A
hear you.
coffee. Give you free. Maybe they just give you your drinks at the resort for free. I mean, something. You get
Right.
absolutely nothing as part of your package, and it's a joke unless you buy the dining plan. And even that's limited.
Right.
Okay, give me unlimited dining then.
Right.
as far as snacks at the resort.
And then you can take it another step. You purchase the refillable mugs. Oh, well, that's great, but
But now
don't
it's
bring them to
time.
the theme park. If you come here, we're not giving you any soda. What are them, $21 now, whatever they are, I don't even
17,
know.
I think it
So
is. What
yeah. But I mean, to me, you buy that thing, you should be able to get a soda anywhere on property that has a dispenser, a soda dispenser or whatever, you should be able to get it.
And the kick in the rear end with that is they even found a way they put it on a timer now. So, because they
Right.
said, oh, what John Schmo's doing is he's filling this up and then he's pouring it into Timmy's mug and then he's going back and get another soda.
Right.
He only paid $275 for this room. Darn him. And $17 extra for this cup. Darn him that he's splitting it with his son. What a creep. Worked 80 hours of overtime this year to afford this trip, and he's stealing a soda from us.
Oh, man, that's funny, but it's true.
That's the bug. That's the little things of this the place we love. I can't wait for my next trip. But
I know.
and then to top it off, do you have another one?
I have one last one. It's not a big one, but I do have one last one.
Okay, hit me with that. Then we'll do the one that we both agree on because we got to get out of here. We've been long-winded. We're on our third round, which we're not allowed to have.
Excuse me. Yeah, my last one is kind of, it's going to sound hypocritical probably, but now that we've we tour differently and we vacation differently and we go down there, I love to build resort days into my my trip. I'm not go, go, go. I don't have to be in a theme park every day to enjoy my Disney trip. So the thing that bugs me, or one of the things that bugs me that I wish they would change in the coming year is I wish these stores and the lounges and stuff that are within the resorts would stay open a little later in the evening. You know, and I get why they don't do it. They want you in bed so you can get up early and buy that breakfast that you got to pay for. But, you know, a couple of times it bummed me out. Like we were with a bunch of family members and we were at Port Orleans and we were watching Bob and, you know, it got a little late in the evening and, you know, 10:45, we were sitting on one of the leather couches out there and they start sliding the doors of Fulton's General Store closed. You know, they didn't just shut them, but, you know, the cast members were prepping to shut down because the store closes at 11. And it's the same thing with the River Roost. And I'm just using Riverside as an example, but this is all over
property.
Feel
free. River Roost is my place.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. We're all adults here. This is, you know, the most popular vacation destination in the world, and you're rolling up the carpets at 11 p.m. That seems ridiculous to me. So, you know, for folks that do enjoy the resort amenities and stuff, I mean, I'm not saying I want them open like Las Vegas, or, you know, 24/7, but
at least midnight.
Yeah, exactly. It just, I don't know, it kind of bummed me out. We're all having a good time, and, you know, all of a sudden they're giving us the, you know, they would never tell you to leave, but you know what I mean.
Most bars in America are open to 2 a.m. That's usually the cutoff. But I would even take 12, 1 o'clock because a lot of times I've done the resort hopping, but a lot of times we don't do it as much as we want to because it's closed by the time the park closes.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've gotten back, you know, late at night on the bus or whatever, and you're thinking, oh, good, I can run into the store and maybe grab a muffin or a cupcake or, you know, bring it back to the room and you're not really thinking about the time or whatever, and you get in there and everything's closed. I mean, to me that, you know, especially if you go to one of the later shows at night or, you know, you get back a little late from the parks or something, you know, I don't know. I just, it seems depressing when you come back and things are closed. Why are things closed that early? I mean, I know the reasons why they do it, but I don't know. I just think they ought to leave things open a little later.
I wish too. I mean, the point would be is they don't want to, they want the guests that want to go to sleep, be out of sleep, not having people partying. But most of the resorts, the rooms are so segregated from the lobbies that I don't think, the only resort that I think would be a big deal would maybe be the Floridian and the Wilderness Lodge.
Right, where the rooms are right off the big hallways where some of that sound may carry down there. But, I mean, come on, we're building materials these days and insulation. I mean, they could rectify that. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, the grand foyers there, the lobbies there both have rooms that you could hear probably stuff. But all the other resorts, is there any other resort? Even the Animal Kingdom, because theirs is set up, it has the big foyer, but none of the rooms are right there.
Right. I mean, the Contemporary, you have the rooms on the inside that look into the, you know, the atrium there or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, again, I probably 98% of people that are going to Disney World have been up since the crack of dawn and probably a long since sleeping by 11 o'clock. So, you know, they probably can't justify it from a volume of guest perspective to paying the cast members and running everything and keeping the, you know, the grills and the ovens and all the electricity. I mean, I'm sure they've calculated it out and it just doesn't make fiscal sense to do it. I'm sure that's why it is.
Well, I remember 97 that I and I'm not sure, but I know Caribbean Beach and Riverside, they're always open to at least midnight, 1 o'clock, and then it cut back to 10, 11 o'clock some nights.
Right.
But I wish it would stay open later.
Yeah, just when you come back, I think you hit on it. It's nice to see a vibrant, you know, food court and, you know, maybe the River Roost is going and different things going on. When you come back and everything's crickets, it's just like, you know, I don't know. But anyways,
That's going to be it about for us then. We did the complaining up to a Lou Mangiello podcast.
we criticize because we love. We're not, you know, we're a pretty positive podcast, and these are just things we'd like to see change. So I mean,
we're looking out for you guys and us as Disney. You know, we're all family here, and we're trying to make things better for us. We're not saying we don't mind paying. We know we have to pay. We just don't want to be. There's gouging going on. It's kind of like me with construction. Yeah, I want to make money, but there's certain things I can't charge my customers for. If I'm at their house and I'm changing something, I'm working in a room and I have my ladder out and the lady goes, "Would you put this light bulb in for me while you're up there?" Yeah, $75. No, I'm going to clean. You know how many times I've worked in a foyer where I've dusted off their chandelier for nothing while I'm up there?
Right,
and change the bulbs. I'll say, "Why don't you go out and get some bulbs and we'll put all new ones in here." If they haven't been changed in a while. And that's going to be $25 a light bulb. You know what? I'll round it off an even $100. No, I'm going to do it for free because these are loyal customers of mine.
Right, right. Well, you'll never be on the executive board at Disney, that's for sure.
How do you know? I think that would draw – I would make me love them even more. The bottom line is, Dan, you're going to end up spending the money there one way or another. So there's ways to make you feel happier about spending your money. It's like I've always said with my customers. When they have a problem with their house and they have to spend money, it's not as good when you want to spend money. Yeah. So if I save the money on buying the coffee for my wives in the morning, I'm going to buy her a Starbucks in the afternoon. They're still going to get my money.
Right, right.
Just make me feel good a little bit. You know, talk nice to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. So, at least fake it anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead, Doug.
That's going to be it for us this week. Do you have anybody else you want to say goodbye to, Dan?
No, that's pretty much it.
It's going to be it, guys. Please check out our sponsors. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. Please go over to iTunes and give us a review. I know it's a tough job to do it, but we'd really appreciate it.
Yes.
And that's going to be it for this week, guys. And we will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
Steps in and sees you.
Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.